I hope you're ready. It's that time. Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woot, woot!
Steve's right, that's a lot more fun when you've been hosting. Hi, everybody, Nick Rogers, I'm in for Steve Tannen, and he's on vacation for the rest of the week, so I've taken over hosting duties. So normally I'm just playing the hump day open on a 5 o'clock on a Wednesday, and it's feeling pretty good. Like you're getting into the vibe of a Wednesday halfway through the work week after a long weekend of 4th of July America patriotisming partying going on. And then you get to hear that. Been hosting for the second day now of 4 days that I will be hosting, so I'm in through the rest of the week. Steve's still gonna be on vacation, assuming he hasn't heard us talking cornhole for like the last 45 minutes, and he's just like, what have these fools done with my radio show? My name is attached to this show more than anything. Like I just you can't do that. You can't talk cornhole. I could see. If Steve was here, we certainly wouldn't have talked this much cornhole. I could almost guarantee that.
Yeah, but if Steve was here, we also wouldn't both be having this much fun talking about cornhole. So, I mean, it's like, yes, Steve, if you're listening, I miss you, and I hope you're having fun playing golf. But at the same time, more cornhole.
That's true. Cornhole's better. Yeah, we'll have cornhole talk. CT. I think, what did we do yesterday that I said was ST?
Not like there's any other important CT going on at all, but, you know.
Crunch time. Cornhole talk. It goes together. It's perfect. So I'm Nick Rogers. I'm in for Steve for the rest of the week at Rick Nodgers on Twitter. If you have cornhole takes, if you wanted to call in on the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, 541-284-8571, or text us your cornhole takes, 321-0824. I thought we would be going head to head with the ESPYs, but as I tried to turn the channel to ABC, I saw the 5 o'clock news was on, which is not the ESPYs because they're on tape delay for the West Coast. So I think it was a couple weeks ago I was kind of railing on NBC for still tape delaying the Olympics. And I was like, who does that? Who would ever tape delay a sporting event like this? ESPN does for the ESPYs for the West Coast when it's happening in L.A.
I feel like that happens with a lot of award shows, though, right? That happens with almost every award show.
That's
right?
True. Whatever.
Because, I mean, I get that the ESPYs are really cool and everything, but do the ESPYs matter? Like, do they matter more than the news? I don't. I'm not gonna
local,
think
live local news is pretty important.
Yeah,
I should say that is now the host of a live local radio show.
Live and local is always the most important.
That's very true. So the ESPYs, I've got the list of their nominees. Obviously, I'm not going to know what's going to happen, and if you're trying to avoid spoilers, probably stay off Twitter. But instead, I've created the Crunchies. The best of 2018-19 from just about last year's All-Star break through today. I've got a bunch of nominees that we've got to go through and a couple categories, certainly not as many as the ESPYs have. I've still got a lot of them on there. We can go over some ESPY categories as well, but I wanted to start with best championship winning team. So we start with the Boston Red Sox went 108-54, the most wins in franchise history, the most games in the MLB won in 2018, won the AL East by 8 games, beat the Yankees 3-1 in the ALDS, beat the 2017 World Series champs 4-1 in the ALCS, and then the hated, evil, rotten, no good Dodgers 4-1 in the World Series. Pretty solid. Of course, your Toronto Raptors went 58-24. They beat the Magic 4-1. The 76ers in the second round 4-3. In a game 7, the quadruple bounce winner. They fell behind 0-2 to the Bucks and won 4 straight, and then took down a hobbled Warriors teams 4-2. So in 6 games with only 1 win at home, which I thought was quite interesting. Of course, your NFL, New England Patriots Super Bowl champions, they were 11-5, the second seed in the AFC, thanks to the Chargers and Chiefs, though having such great years. Probably could have technically even been a third seed if seeding was a little bit different, but it's not. They take a division win over the Chargers, 41-28. The overtime thriller against the Chiefs on the road for the AFC title, 37-31. And then the ultimate pooper of a Super Bowl, 13-3 over the Rams. I included the St. Louis Blues out of the NHL. They were dead last on January 2nd and made the playoffs after taking down divisional rival Winnipeg in 6 games. They beat another divisional rival in Dallas in Game 7. On the road, double overtime, took down my Sharks 4-2, and then another Game 7 on the road against the Boston Bruins. I guess Steve was pretty happy that Boston lost there. And then in soccer, Liverpool, second in their group in the UEFA Champions League, had to go through Bayern Munich, who they beat 3-1 on aggregate, Porto 6-1 on aggregate, and then Barcelona in the semifinal, falling behind in the first leg 3-0, winning the second leg 4-0, and then the final against Tottenham 2-0 as well. Best championship team, who do you feel like should take home the first ever crunchy for best championship winning team?
I mean, there were a lot of really, really strong opponents this year. I thought it was very even across the board. But you know what? If you would have asked me before you read all that off, I probably would have gone with Toronto just because it was really exciting what they did. They beat the Warriors.
Recency bias.
Exactly. But you know what? 108 wins is a lot of wins. That's a lot of wins. My vote goes to Boston.
I was leaning either St. Louis because of just how incredible it was that where they came from to get to the Stanley Cup final. But Boston Red Sox, they were champions. I think they were one of the few times that Steve has looked at a Boston team and basically said, yes, they're better than my team. I have to appreciate them. As much as he dislikes Boston, I think we've got a picture of him somewhere wearing a shirt that just says Boston sucks. And I think we used to send that off to people. We used to be on the Gottlieb show. One of the pictures that we would put out on Twitter, send to the guys to have them put on TV, is of Steve in his Boston sucks t-shirt. So Steve, congratulations to the Crunchy winners, your 2018 Boston Red Sox, 108 wins in the season, and basically dominating the postseason as well.
The crowd has gone silent.
Good job, good effort indeed. Hey, your second drop on your own.
I'm trying.
Good job, good effort to you. Good job, good effort.
The crowd has gone silent.
Crowd has gone silent.
Just about.
Where is that kid now?
Oh, jeez.
Do you tell people that you're the good job, good effort kid?
Maybe if they're diehard sports radio fans.
Maybe.
Keep reading through the list. I'll figure this one out. There's a whole list you got to read through.
That's true. Okay, so it was the East Finals. Boston won Game 5 to take the lead 3-2. They had won Game 5 in Miami 94-90. So this was... it doesn't have the year on it. That's quite unfortunate. See, if I was a bigger basketball fan, and I'm sure like Steve, if he was listening, is yelling at his radio, telling me the year it was, had to have been 2011 playoffs. I want to say 2011, 2012. I could probably figure it out if I actually just clicked on the link, to find the date it was posted. Oh boy, internet got slow too. This is great radio, just fantastic. posted in 2012. So maybe 2011, 2012 playoffs if it got up a little bit later. Anyways, moving on to our second crunchy best championship performance. So this is something I went through the sports reference pages, and I just searched for guys who had played well in the finals of their sporting event and just how it came out. So Kevin Durant in Game 3 of the 2008 finals, 43 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, 652 from the field with a game score of 39.6. That was the game where he hit the dagger 2 years in a row from almost the same spot on the floor against the Cavs. He won finals MVP as well. Kawhi Leonard, Game 4 of the 2019 finals this year, 36 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 block, no turnovers in 41 minutes with a game score of 33.5, 5 of 9 from 3. Julian Edelman in that dud of a Super Bowl, he had basically one of the best games a wide receiver could have. 10 receptions on 12 targets, 141 yards. I also included the entirety of the Clemson Tigers offense, 135 rushing yards with 2 touchdowns, 347 passing yards with 3 touchdowns. They forced 2 turnovers. They had no turnovers. This is against a Nick Saban defense. A Nick Saban defense that had, I think this year, 3 or 4 guys off their, I think 2 or 3 guys of their defensive line were drafted in the first round.
No, it was ridiculous. And I mean, do we say the entire Clemson offense, or do we just give it to Jeff Scott, their offensive coordinator? Because Jeff had a heck of a game plan. Jeff came through.
No, it's got to go to the players. They're the ones actually executing the game plan. It's got to go to them.
So Trevor Lawrence's hair alone.
Trevor Lawrence's hair. Is that the best hair? Can't be the best hair in sports. Maybe no. Best hair in college football.
It's up there. I hate to sound biased, but man, when number 10 lets that flow come out the bottom of the helmet, that's pretty. I know he cut it recently, but it's strong flow. There's got to be some great hair around the college football world. Okay. There has to be.
So best hair in college football, best hair in sports as well.
Okay.
So that's another topic for another day. And also Megan Rapinoe.
We'll meet it by Friday.
By Friday, yeah. Megan Rapinoe for best championship performance for the U.S. women's national team. Game-winning penalty kicked in the final, got the golden boot, won the U.S. their 4th World Cup. She goes back-to-back for World Cups as well. I'm just realizing as well that the 2018 finals don't count. So Kevin Durant's been eliminated from this because that happened before last year's All-Star break, before my cutoff date. Boy, it's the way Clemson destroyed that Alabama defense for what happened and turned the championship game into a blowout. I think it's got to go to the Clemson Tigers.
I tend to agree with you. I tend to agree with you.
Also, not to be forgotten, this is another category I wanted to add in but kind of ran out of prep time. Better championship super binge that they've gone on. Alex Ovechkin with the Capitals, Brett Hull with the Blues, or again, the entirety of the U.S. women's national team who during their parade today are in the middle of like day 3, so you count Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, about the 4th day of their super party for celebrating the World Cup. I'm not quite sure who celebrated harder. Like, we really, I think this is coming down to Alex Ovechkin and the entirety of the women's national team.
I mean, if you've been on social media at all, they are having a great time, it's and I don't blame them. If you win the World Cup, you absolutely have to do that. I mean, come on. like, what would you do if you won the World Cup?
I would try and drink for 5 to 7 days straight.
And they are working on it. They are getting it done.
I mean, there was the great video of when they landed back in the U.S. and they got off of their flight. And someone was like, so I think the U.S. might have been drinking on this flight.
A little bit.
Because they came off, you know, feeling pretty good.
A little bit.
Which is fantastic.
More power to them.
I mean, I think it was, who was talking about this earlier today? It might have been DA, maybe Jim Rome. I'm trying to think of who I heard this from, but they were talking about you haven't really seen women's championships being celebrated in this way before. And I don't know if it's because the coverage of women's sports isn't as great, and maybe some of the bigger women's sports are, you know, collegiate sports like the college softball World Series, the women's Final Four, where, you know, yeah, those women are going to celebrate when they've won a title, but they're not, you know, maybe some of them aren't legally able to drink. So the celebrations are a lot behind the scenes and when they get back and with their friends and, you know, partying in their apartments or whatever it may be. And, you know, the WNBA, The NWSL, I guess you don't see like women's sports celebrating like you do with men's sports championships, probably because the exposure isn't as high, but that is exactly what I would be doing.
Well, absolutely.
They're doing exactly what every other men's team does when they win a championship. I think like all of Cleveland and Philly, when they won their NBA, their first titles, like, yeah, the entire city, I think all of Philadelphia, like, is still drunk from that Super Bowl parade. It's like, yeah, that's exactly
they're waking up with hangover.
They're just, yeah, they're doing exactly what everybody else is doing.
I think what, and I hate to dive too far into this because we do have other things to get to, but I quickly want to jump on it. What this U.S. women's team has done an amazing job of, and it shows in those celebrations, is they've done a fantastic job of marketing themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Unlike any other World Cup team that I can think of, or a lot of other athletes in general, they've done a fantastic job of documenting their entire journey through social media, through interviews, through stuff like that. But they've done a fantastic job of being able to self-represent in a lot of ways that aren't really handed out to them like there are in other sports. They've done a fantastic job of social media, of really taking everybody who's interested along their entire journey. They've marketed themselves so well, and this celebration is the best example of that. They had everybody had their phones out. Everybody was willing to show what was going on. Everybody was excited to show what was going on. They didn't feel any type of way about it. Like, we're celebrating. We deserve this. And they completely do.
And for all we know, this is how every, you know, I don't see any reason why a professional sports team wouldn't celebrate a title like this.
Absolutely.
And you think back to the 2015 World Cup that they won. I mean, obviously social media was big 4 years ago, but there was still kind of that taboo about it of you've got to be careful what you're posting and be careful of your image that's getting put out there. And you've got people managing it. And, you know, maybe the players had grown up in an age where they didn't think they needed social media. So they didn't feel like they needed to talk about it all that much or post all of that information. But really, I mean, since maybe 2016, 17, certainly through today, like, people posting stuff on their Instagram or Snapchat story is like the way that you find out what people are up to and what they're doing. And the post, the in the locker room celebration, you know, Snapchat, Instagram video is the most damn fun thing because, again, it's these players like we talked about in the first hour of the show with players wearing live mics and showing who they are and expressing themselves as not just a person in a uniform who plays the sport, who's only interested in the sport that he or she plays. It's like, hey, here I am as a human being celebrating this massive accomplishment, having fun, drinking a boatload of beer and champagne and whatever they're drinking and just like having a good time, which is exactly what they should be doing.
Absolutely.
I mean, I like the World Cup for the men and certainly for the women isn't as big as the Stanley Cup, so you can't treat it like the Stanley Cup where you can drink out of it. But I'd imagine if there was some gigantic,
I'm sure they're trying.
If there's some gigantic, you know, bowl-shaped thing, which, you know, the other thing I've thought about is changing the World Cup trophies so that they are like bigger. Like the UEFA Champions League trophy is a gigantic thing. It looks like that trophy from those the What Happens in Vegas ads where the guys pretend to be on the soccer team. Like, you know, it should be gigantic like that. You should be able to drink out of it.
Cup.
Yeah, it shouldn't be some tiny thing that it looks like you can hold in one hand. Like, I'm sure it's probably made of solid gold or whatever, and it's got a slot in the top where all of the FIFA officials stuff their bribes into, and then they crack it open and everybody gets their fair share at the end of the tournament. But yeah, let's make this World Cup, like all of the trophies that you win should be gigantic things that you should be able to drink beer and champagne out of because it's more fun that way. I saw the NHL Instagram page posted a video of somebody who made a margarita in the top of the Stanley Cup.
That's great.
Like they had a plate full of salt. They rimmed it with the lime. They dunked it in the salt. They poured the margarita mix, like the premix that they had in. It was perfect. So yeah, good for the U.S. women for celebrating and having a boatload of beer because they should be having a boatload of beer. Let's stretch out this party into a week. I'm sure they're going to be partying all. I'm sure they've been partying all day and all night long after their parade in New York City today. Woo! Wow, that was. I felt like that was a long rant. I'm Nick Rogers in for Steve Tannen for Sports Talk here at 95.3 The Score. Hit me up on Twitter at Rick Nogers. That's N-O-G-E-R-S. You're switching the N and the R around in Nick Rogers. You can hit us up on Twitter for the station at 95.3 The Score, as well as Sam on Twitter at Samuel101TS. We're going to have a couple more crunchies coming up. Maybe go back to talking about cornhole, NBA replay review as well. Tons of stuff to talk about. So hit us up. Let us know what you're talking about and want to hear about as well. Coming back with a Coors Light update next. 95.3 The Score.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk. Coors Light is the official sponsor of your Oregon Ducks and the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953 for your chance to get involved. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
If you're a coach in the NBA, you are keeping that one challenge you have because that's all you're going to get. That thing is staying in your pocket until you're in the last minute of the game, and you're going to save it probably for a foul call situation because everything else the league is already going to take care of with their current replay review.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Sports Talk. That was Tim Legler of ESPN talking last night, this morning, about the changes that the NBA implemented to their replay review system and all of the rules that are going to be in place there. Basically, how this works out is NBA coaches will be getting one challenge per game, and that is it. So regardless of whether that challenge is successful or not, that's the challenge that they'll have. And they can use it for a called personal foul charged to its own team, a called out-of-bounds violation, or a called goaltending or basket interference violation. And again, the most important part of this language is that it has to be called. So you can't have a coach calling a timeout to say, hey, you didn't call a foul there. Go call a foul. Go look and see that you missed it, because the last thing the NBA needs is people making fun of their officials by showing how not good that they are at catching all of these fouls because they're not able to keep up with the intense speed that these athletes on the court have. And the other rules that are going to be in place is basically if it's not inside the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter or the last 2 minutes of an overtime, any of those called out-of-bounds violations, goaltending, basket interference violations will not be challengeable and will be exclusively triggered by the on-court referee. So that's exactly the same how it is now. The most important 2 minutes of the game are the last 2 minutes of the game, and that's when the officials are going to be able to step in and be able to review. The other things that the NBA replay will be able to trigger are, of course, the 2 or 3 point field goals, shot clock violations as well. So it's going to be really interesting to see how coaches use this strategy of having a challenge, if they want to throw it out early in a game because they're trying to send a message, maybe a player picked up a foul too early, or they're going to save it late in a game when somebody's been fouled out on a call that maybe they weren't actually committing a foul on, or that was clearly an all ball block and for some reason they got called a foul or some sort of charge block situation. Coming back on the cool throne, talk about the block charge. That's literally like both of these things happening at the same time. You're gonna see a lot of those, and they're probably not gonna ever go the way that you're rooting for whatever team you root for. They're going the wrong way. That's just what's gonna happen. I'm Nick Rogers. I'm in for Steve for today and for the rest of the week. He's on vacation. He was out golfing, having a good time, taking off the slowest week of the sports year, leaving me to take over. I'm Nick Rogers. You can find me on Twitter at Rick Nodgers. Hit us up on Twitter, the station's handle at 953 The Score. I said I'm at Rick Nodgers. Intern Sam at Samuel 101 TS. And of course, as always, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline 284-8571 and the text line 321-0824. We've had some requests for some soccer talk, Griezmann and Neymar possibly to Barca. We've had someone correct us on what it was called for bowling in terms of an attempt. I believe it's a throw. I think I found out. Forgot where that message went. Anyways, we've talked a whole bunch of stuff today, and we ended last segment talking about the Crunchies, which are, of course, competing with the ESPYs as the best of 2018 and 19. So the ESPYs, they've got all of their categories, best male and female athlete, the best breakthrough athlete, best team, best international men's player, best international women's player. A couple that we didn't go over in the Crunchies that we're going to get to, just some ones that I wanted to bring up. Best game. This actually, one of them is something that I did bring up, but only one of them is covered here. The LSU-Texas A&M 7 overtime thriller that happened around, I think it was Thanksgiving, 74-72. Did you watch that game or any of the overtimes at that point?
The 70 overtime game, right?
Yeah.
I, unfortunately, at that time, was in the KWVA studios, definitely producing, I believe I was actually doing volleyball during the, either probably during the playoff push, maybe.
Okay.
I was definitely producing something, and very few of our listeners probably know this, but as beautiful and wonderful as the new studios are, much better from Nick's days by
right.
far,
yes, yes.
Beautiful, there is still zero internet of any kind.
Oh, really? So they've just never fixed that part?
No, it's awful. It's awful. My laptop would just not connect to anything ever. It would stay on the famed UO Secure for about 35 seconds max. EDU Roam is the life hack that everybody needs to know. EDU Roam is where you want to go. It's the exact same login process. That won't even work on my laptop down there. So I have my phone open because I'm still kind of learning how to produce. So I have to be like making sure that I can quickly make a call or text to make sure everything's all good while trying to produce the show. And at that time, all I keep seeing is ding, ding, ding. Twitter's like, another overtime, another overtime. I'm just like, oh, I got to wait for ESPN Classic to come out with this. Really? Or do I have to go find somebody who was able to screen record the whole thing and put it on YouTube?
That was just insane. And they changed the college overtime rules? Or did they propose a college overtime rule change?
I believe they proposed it, but I'm one of those people who really likes the college football overtime. I think you just, I like it. Put it at the 25 or 35 or whatever it is. Just play it out until there's a winner. Just keep going.
That's right. So according to the proposed rule change, games that extend into a fifth overtime will instead go to alternating two-point conversions rather than all offensive possessions. So that would cut down on the number of plays, obviously the success rate of the two-point conversion.
So you're just running plays from the 1.5-yard line?
So I think it's just like literally like a two-point conversion where you get one play. It's just like So instead of starting at the 25 and you have to get a first down or whatever, you get one play to run a two-point conversion. So you're going for a touchdown, which obviously if you make it puts a ton of pressure on the team that's going second.
My thing is that I'm always going to argue in favor of college football overtime because it's so much fun. I understand that at some point you want it to kind of end, but my goodness, have you been in the stands of an overtime game when that clock is winding down? You know you have to do something. Yeah, I was there, and Oregon unfortunately lost earlier this season while playing Stanford in an overtime game, but that's so much fun to see teams go back and forth like that. Just any great overtime game that, hey, Duck fans, that you remember, possibly Arizona State in 2015 when they went, I believe, 3 before the Arion Springs interception. That's just, it's so much fun to have that back and forth and just be like, all right, we got to score from the 25. It's like, all right, now we got to hold them from the 25. Like, it's so much fun to be able to do that. And as long as you have a kicker, you can usually come out of it with at least something.
It's the one thing Oregon's like never had, really.
Until recently, because definitely guys like Schneider could definitely knock it through.
Right.
But the Chip Kelly era did not see a lot of great kickers.
No. Alejandro Maldonado.
Please don't. Eugene doesn't need to hear that.
I know. I'm sorry. It's okay. He's a really nice guy. Like Moseley's talked to Steve about this, and for some reason, it always comes up that I have to bring up Alejandro Maldonado, and it makes Duck fans mad, and then Steve always remembers that Rob Moseley told him he's like the nicest kid in the world, and he does great things off the field, which is fantastic, but just, you know, for sports reasons, I've disliked that he missed kicks that in games Oregon should have won that I've gotten over.
I agree.
I'm more mad at Zach Ertz and
Dyer. I was just going to say.
D'Anthony
I was just
D'Anthony
say,
didn't throw the block.
Man.
There's a lot of
what
things
could have been.
On. What could have been, indeed.
What could have been. A Notre Dame beatdown is what could have been. That would have been. Okay. All right.
That's what I love so much about SB Nation. They did a what-if week.
Yeah, that was fun.
Oh, my goodness.
That was fun.
Oregon would have beaten Notre Dame 124-12, and
that
it was great and fun.
That sounds outright.
It does sound great. Best play was something we didn't get to in the crunchies that they're going to do during the ESPYs. The ESPYs nominees... The Crunchies, it's a great term for an award.
Oh, I'm a big fan of the Crunchies. I was just thinking more about that potential game. I was just thinking more about that. What's Notre Dame going to do? Pass it to Teo's girlfriend? Like they had no hope. Oregon would have run away with that.
Can you imagine an official saying 12 men on the field, Manti Te'o's girlfriend is out there? That would have been hilarious.
I'd just like to point out this is a...
That's a game I can replay. I think I've got that version of NCAA football. I think I could go back and play Oregon Notre Dame and just beat them 124-12.
The last one was 2014, right?
Yeah. So that was the 2012
you could run that
season.
Back.
Yeah, for sure.
You could run that back with mysterious number 8 that didn't have a... Mysterious number 8 that didn't have a name on the back.
The
he just happened to be real fast.
QB number 8 who was very fast. I think running back number 9 who was also a very good wide receiver.
Yep.
Oh, I miss that game so much.
Man, that was a great game.
I found I had my Xbox was tucked away through a series of moves and I just never plugged it back into my TV. And then I was going home for like a long weekend. I was like, oh, let me bring my Xbox home so when I'm bored, like I can play college football like for the Christmas break or whatever. And I left it at home. And so I've got a working Xbox with a working edition of NCAA football where I've like started dynasties and I've done my player runs. And I think this was the Heisman mode as well, where you could go back and play as future past editions of Heisman winners on current teams. Oh, my goodness, man.
That's so much fun. That's so much fun.
It's the best game ever because I've like the replayability through like dynasty mode with recruiting and like you can be an offensive or a defensive coordinator and like. Just the fun stuff you can do. I don't want
to sound nerdy, but like that's the best part of like all of these video games. Like trust me, I'm probably on like my 9th or 10th season of Madden franchise mode, just because it's like, okay, what am I gonna need to be able to have the first 10 picks in the draft, just so I can trade for more picks? Because Lord knows that once I get my guys, all I gotta do is change their face mask and put like the put the superstar acceleration on them, and all of a sudden they'll become Pro Bowlers in 2 years.
The editing the players so that they have like proper looking gear on is so it's such an underrated part of running a franchise mode because like it is like random players start getting random like wide receivers
it's
get the
weird.
Number 45 like 10 years in the future like whoa
that
I
can't
need
happen.
To change
that can't
everything
happen.
That's happening.
My favorite is trading for old players that used to be on your team that somehow the game still hasn't gotten out of the league yet and it's been like 15 years later and it's like, all right, bring them back, sure, give them their old number, let's have fun with this. I think
I did. One of my friends like bought a version of Madden and then he for a PS4 and he didn't have a PS4. Like he bought it so he could play it on mine. And then he's just like, ah, you can keep it. And I was like, cool. And I think it's Madden 15. So it's a super old version of Madden. But it was like one of the first ones where you could actually move a franchise. And so I started out as the Rams and I did it as their owner so I could move them. And I moved them to Mexico City and I've bankrupted the franchise.
Oh, no.
Like I'm like if I wasn't playing every game on like a way too easy difficulty where I wasn't winning like, you know, 95-6 or 95-0 or whatever, like they would have fired me by now because we have like negative cap space. We're not making money.
Oh, I'm so much negative cap space. It's unbelievable. Apparently, when you trade Odell Beckham Jr. for strictly draft picks, it's bad against the cap. That does not work. That does not work at all.
And this is like a super old version too. So like Aaron Donald was a rookie, and
oh,
like
man.
And right. So like you know he's kind of like maybe the game's gonna make him into what he's actually gonna become, or you know he had been in the league for a little bit, so they knew he was gonna be a star, and so he's like barely playing on the defensive line, and you've got like you know one of the Long brothers is like a third string end rush for some reason, and the only players I can sign in free agency are like 55 overalls, and I have to sign them to the league minimum, and I'm just like all of my stars are gone.
Trust me, no,
I can only sign rookies.
I only when it's the off season, I'll make trades because I always, as I told you, draft picks for days, all the draft picks. But the only people I can sign. I just look for former Oregon players that are like way fallen off or whatever. But I will tell you this. I've got Braylon Addison averaging about 25 punt returns for touchdowns a season. No problem. Trust me, my return core is DeAnthony Thomas and Braylon Addison both wearing their college numbers, and it's awesome.
Oh, boy. Yeah, and then somebody just texted in, my favorite part is taking a one-star school and building them up to a powerhouse. Yeah, that's like...
Oh, so good.
That's a ton of fun. I was at one of the Oregon media days one day talking with Joey Mack and some of the other people in the reporters pool that we were down there, and he's like, oh, yeah, my favorite thing is to like... He's like, one of the dynasty runs I did was I went to Alabama as a head coach, and I ran them into the ground. And he was just like, I kept signing... like, I would do just, he's, I think he said, or maybe somebody else said that they would, they've done this or they had somebody who did this, but I heard it from Joey Max, so I'm just going to say that he did it. But it's that he would sign a bunch of 4 and 5 stars so that he would do just enough to not be like strictly fired from the team. But then he would just not play them, and he's like would play with like the triple option and just have him go like 0-12 every year. And he's just like, I just wanted Alabama to be bad. And yeah, so I made not? Them bad.
Why not? Ruin it.
I ran a dynasty with Northwestern for some reason. I think one of the ones I had left off was I was running the air raid with Texas Tech as an offensive coordinator because I was like, I'm going to run the air raid with Texas Tech. Like, of course that's what I'm going to do. It's just the replayability is so high.
That game is so much fun, and I try to at least every few years, because I got the last Madden I think I had was maybe 17, so I definitely do want to get the new one and just at least keep it somewhat up to date, because you can last a couple of years without getting the new players, that's whatever.
Right.
But my biggest thing is like, oh, am I still using the brown Jaguar uniforms right here? Really? Need to update this.
The two-tone helmets, guys? Really?
Ugh, gross.
It's not even the right uniforms,
it's
guys.
So disgusting.
I guess the old brown ones maybe are an update over their new super bright orange ones for some reason, but
I'll just roll retro. Or just wear the new Color Rush.
See, I didn't even have Color Rush in the version of Madden I had. Or
I think 17 was the first version they put it in. But
yeah, fair enough. Man, yeah. Video games are fun, man. They're
video games are great.
FIFA, too, is another one where players start getting really weird numbers, and, like, players don't get bad. Like, that's the one thing about FIFA that's really weird, because I'll do my player, and I'll, like, you know, create this, personality for the person I've created where it's, like, his goal is he has to play for Barcelona by the time he's, you know, this old, and he has to be sold for this much money, and he has to have it. And, like, I'm creating all of this stuff so that I have a reason to keep playing with him. And then he moves to the Premier League, and you've got these guys who are, like, not aging superstars, but they're guys who are right now like 28, 29, and you've gotten so far into the future that they're, like, 37, but they're still starting. And it's like, how is he's like a 95 right now, and he's only dropped to an 87, and he's 37 years old? Like, I don't think FIFA's necessarily gotten like the regression on players down just yet.
I mean, when you have to worry about that many players, like FIFA covers everything,
every league and every player.
There's a reason that it's not like it's not as up on some things. It's just so much to do. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's a lot to keep up with.
Like, if you think Madden's impressive, my goodness. Look at, imagine having that, like, how many leagues probably accounted for? Then countries on top of that.
Oh, boy.
And then some of the women's teams, it's wild.
And then you do, like, you can do the My Player mode, you've got the Manager mode, yep. You've got the FIFA Ultimate and the Madden Ultimate Team stuff that they're all working on. There's so much work to do for EA Sports, it's ridiculous.
Those guys are impressive.
So we didn't get to the Crunchies, we didn't get to Best Play.
Well,
it's true. Plenty of time for tomorrow. I think also tomorrow I was going to do a basically just like a debate Thursday, where call it a just make you mad Thursday, where we just bring up random things to talk about. Is a hot dog a sandwich? Can ketchup go on a hot dog? Pancakes or waffles? Any of the classic debates that you can think of. I think we're just going to throw all of them out there tomorrow and just see what happens.
So then what's the plan for Friday? Is that looking too far ahead?
Friday is going to be dealing with the backlash of having made everybody mad.
Oh,
and
perfect.
Just kind of making things
so cleaning
better.
Up the rubble.
Yeah, we'll also have a baseball game to talk about.
Oh, excellent.
So yeah, because tonight we talked about the All-Star game. That was pretty fun. We want everybody to wear a live mic all the time.
Clearly.
I mean, why wouldn't you? It's the best ever. We can talk more video games. I don't know. We also have one more segment to go. So we've got the tweet of the day coming up. We're going to wrap up a Wednesday next. You can still get in a late phone call if you wanted. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, 284-8571. Text us in with your NCAA football or Madden takes and how you run your franchise. Have you run any teams into the ground on purpose just out of spite? Let us know. 321-0824 on the text line, or tweet it to us at 953 the score, at Rick Nodgers for me, at Samuel101TS for intern Sam. We're coming back with the tweet of the day next. 953 the score.
We're riding the waves of technology just for you.
Dude, you got the best barrels ever, dude.
You can call the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline at 284-8571. Text 321-0824.
Do you mind texting?
Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953. And now,
It's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk for the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Coors Light is the world's most refreshing beer. I have missed several texts of I have my phone charging on the other side of the studio. My mom sent me a text of my Xbox sitting at home, and she said, it's just sitting here. And she said, and I was like, I really wouldn't hate you sending back to me. Oh, yeah, we could have it in the office. I think Alex actually has one in his office. That's for official use only, for like when we go out on remotes and have promotions and things. So there's a use for that being in his office. He also doesn't have a TV and I don't think would be tempted to play it. Steve also, if we came in here and started playing video games on the TV, he's already a grumpy old man. He would be even grumpier having to deal with us yelling at the TV screen playing Madden or FIFA.
You know, he'd be yelling too, just aggressively.
I got another text actually from my girlfriend back when we were talking about cornhole. This is tweet of the day, but now it's text of the day from my phone. Throwing actual ears of corn into the hole.
Solid.
Which is a fantastic idea.
Shucked or not shucked.
We didn't get to MVP baseball, which is fantastic. They were actually talking about that on the Lebatard show the other day of like you could do a home run derby in like a house, and you could go through and like as you're hitting home runs or hitting the ball, like the outfield wall was made of cards, and like you would hit a wall and it would knock it down. You could break vases and you could like hit the ball, like they had like mini hoops up and you could hit a home run into the mini hoop. It's awesome. So we have so many video game things to talk about. For topics for tomorrow, make you mad debate wise and then best hair and just video games.
Sounds
best
great.
Hair in sports
sounds perfect.
It's ideal. So over to intern Stan for the actual tweets of the day.
All right, we got a few of these for you today. First one from one of my personal favorite places to find fantastic sports tweets, The Onion Sports Network. At The Onion Sports, furious Bleacher Report editor will make staff rank things all blanking night if he has to. If anybody here is a big Bleacher Report follower, they know that the lists are many. From 24/7 Sports at 24/7 Sports, a more serious note, NC State has been charged with four NCAA violations, some of which are related to recruitment of former NBA lottery pick Dennis Smith Jr. Two of the penalties are level one violations, the most serious NCAA violation. A lot of people around here are also nervous about NCAA violations of one sort or another. It's a very interesting topic, and usually not a lot comes out of it.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see this spin the wheel of NCAA punishments and where it lands on North Carolina State.
Exactly.
Which will probably be... Portland State is put on probation.
That sounds about right. A terrific interaction based on what our show has become earlier. You, Nick, were able to shout at the top of your lungs, "Cornholo," because clearly we have a lot to talk about. But as the music runs out and I'm already a little bit behind it, the tweet of the day comes from Fox Sports Braves, at Fox Sports Braves, where they do have the entire video of Freddie Freeman mic'd up at the All-Star Game. Please go check it out. It's a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, that is, it's one of the clips that we played earlier. We could, I think we got time if you wanted to play it now as well. Freddie Freeman at bat wearing a live mic, being able to talk to the broadcasters and talk to the players all at the same time. It's just a really cool marketing tool that the league can tell its TV networks to use more because, one, it's fun, and then, two, it's good for growing the players and making them more open to the public and knowledgeable and make them more than just guy who wears baseball uniform. They're suddenly guy who has a sense of humor and guy who likes to make jokes about, you know, whatever. Guy who's also interested in things that aren't baseball. And it's just a ton of fun. At Figer's tweeting us, is it going to be Pete Rose Hall of Fame talk or LeBron Jordan debate? Again, these are things that, yeah, we could go LeBron Jordan. I don't really want to. I wanted to stick more with food arguments and food debates, categorizing things and where what you can put on what and why you prefer one thing or another.
I heard a suggestion for your favorite athlete of all time. We could talk about The GOAT, if you want to.
We could bring up Bo Jackson. Wow. I wonder what athlete had their career cut short most by an injury.
Oh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. We should probably spend 2 days on it.
Yeah, we can't think of anybody off the top of my head. We also have plenty more crunchies to get to. I printed out a story somewhere over here. I don't know how Steve keeps his notes all together. That's actually an important piece of paper, so that should be kept separate. Probably I should have done that. I don't know how
the filing system here is one of a kind.
It's just throw it somewhere. Steve has folders that are probably as old as I am that are filled with papers, and I think he's organized. We have a binder that's filled with things that are also maybe things I actually should have been reading this week. Nope, those are a month old. That's fine. So I don't have to read that. I printed out like probably too many pieces of paper, and they're just single pieces of paper. And I thought, oh, I'll have a title on the top. Maybe I'll highlight it, and you know, that'll keep it organized. It has not kept it organized. I tried Staples. Steve does a thing where he folds it up into a piece of paper that is about the thing that he's doing, but that didn't work because I stacked more papers on top of it. So this is just an absolute mess. So I can understand why Steve is so OCD, because you have to be OCD to be organized. I've also just scribbled things on a notepad of paper that doesn't make any sense at all.
I'm drowning over here just in sticky notes.
Yeah, that's true. You've made a mess of the sticky notes.
Important things to remember, though.
Like two of them are.
Multiple of them are. A lot of them were.
Do you
notes
still have the
can...
Ricolo ad?
Absolutely. Okay, we're gonna. I'm not forgetting this.
Yeah, we're gonna have to actually type that out and laminate it and probably get it audited and then send it off to Ricolo. Don't take that idea. It's ours. I have a lot of things I actually didn't get to today that we can move into Thursday. Again, I'm Nick Rogers. I'm in for Steve. Steve's going to be on vacation for the rest of the week. He's out playing golf today. But if you have any contributions, any ideas about things that will make you angry and that you want to yell about and argue about, and things that are, you know, maybe not sports related, the hot dog debate, the ketchup debate.
That's going to be a lot of
pancakes
fun tomorrow.
Versus waffles. Let's not bring crepes into this, because of course you would never pick a crepe. You just wouldn't.
Man.
The best type of bread to eat a sandwich on. I don't know. These are all the things that we're going to bring up tomorrow on a Make You Mad Thursday.
Make You Mad Thursday. I like that. I like that name.
I think a Make You Mad Monday works better.
Make You Mad Monday does sound good, but everyone's already mad on Monday. Why would you do that?
It is a Monday. So, yeah, let's be mad on a Thursday. I don't know what was. I think I have more cantaloupe skin in my mouth. That's pretty gross as well. So that's going to wrap it up for a Wednesday here. Thanks for listening. We've got a podcast now, so pay attention to our Twitter page at 953thescore. We're posting all 3 hours of the show on there. Have a great Wednesday night, everybody. See you tomorrow at 3 o'clock for another edition of Crunch Time on 953 The Score.